A little back.
Up high. Oh, my goodness.
He reached way back.
6 seconds to go. Giselle pulls up. Missed it short. Bolo is there. It's Krishan Christmas.
Merry Christmas, man.
All right, you guys. This is the first episode of the Straight Outta Whack podcast post season, off season. I don't know what we want to call it. I guess we'll just reference that. It's been a great March, and now we're into April. It's April Fool's Day, but this episode is going to come out on April 2nd, and we're going to have a two-part Straight Outta Whack little marathon here. We may even have a third part, depending on how much we get through, because this story, I don't know why I've waited till now to tell it. Maybe it's because the guy that I'm going to bring on decided to come back to the WAC after his team left the WAC last year. But this is a story that dates back to the 2020-21 season. It is a wild one. And you're all, especially Aggie, New Mexico State Aggie fans, are going to want to tune into this. I hope I did this intro right, because this is what I'm going to put out leading up to me posting this episode. But man, you're in for it. Like I said, it's going to be a two-parter. We're going to record tonight. This is Monday night, April Fool's Day. This is not an April Fool's podcast episode, by the way. This is going to be a true story and discussion about the craziness from the COVID, from the COVID year. So be sure to tune in. And then next week, whenever he gets back from the Final Four, we will record the second episode to cap off this. Like I said, there may be a three-part. We may get some other faces in here to talk about this craziness. But Aggie fans, maybe Southern Utah fans, any WAC fans who know this story, joining me now is Southern Utah assistant coach, former Aggie, Tennessee Owens. And man, buddy, I think we got a ton to talk about in this.
Yeah.
Straight Outta Whack podcast episode.
Oh yeah, I've never really had the chance to talk about this. So, you know, a lot of the people I get to talk about it with are people who experienced it, or but I know that there's, you know, the Aggie faithful, they're deep. And so they would, I mean, I figured at some point it was time to talk about it.
So, Tennessee brought it up to me when Southern Utah was in Orem. What was that? Back in January, I think. And we're sitting there courtside just chit-chatting it up. It was the first time we'd seen each other. I think it's the first time we ever really, like, met officially in person.
Yeah.
But we follow each other. He's played for New Mexico State. We've, you know, everything. And all of a sudden he comes up, hey, we need to do a podcast episode on that 2020-21 New Mexico State season. Like, hello, why haven't I done this before? Because,
yeah,
like,
no. I thought it was a good idea. It just seemed like, you know what? I always wanted to talk about it, and I've got no shame in asking to do it. So I was like, you know what? Let me talk to it about with somebody. So I just was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's see what Kyle thinks about it.
You know, the interesting part is we're recording on April Fool's Day. So people actually might think this is an April Fool's, like, joke/story. It's like, no.
Yeah, I'm coming back. So I'm using my last 2 years of eligibility, and I'm going to enter the transfer portal and see what happens. No, this is all real here. It's going to be raw. There's going to be a lot of things that probably people had no clue that happened over the course of that season, because it was crazy.
If you don't know the story, we're going to get into details about this, folks. Everybody should know the story by now. So 2020. All the conference tournaments are shut down. Going into the season, there was questions about how it was going to play out, what the schedule was going to look like, so forth and so on. In one state in the United States of America, an order was put down from the governor that teams could not play. Wait, I should say, was it all teams, or was it just New Mexico State that couldn't practice or play in their own gym?
No, it was both. It was both. So, I mean, New Mexico, the team up north, they actually ended up doing the same thing we did, after. And then for people that don't know, that's like rare. The University of New Mexico is usually the first to act. with everything. So for us to actually do something first, that was like a little bit on the shocking side. Like people are like, oh yeah, they're just, they want to play. And I think, I'd be, you know, remiss if I didn't say like both programs were in very different spots. Right. Like everyone knew we were going to be really good and we had a chance to run the table. We just had won 19 straight games. We were 25-6. I mean, I think we're going to be a 12 or a 13 seed and we got the season taken away from us. So I think we were going to do whatever it took to play. And of course, the governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, she decided that, you know, to set a precedent on not allowing us to play. And of course you can talk about it at nauseam on opinions or whatever. And I don't think you can in hindsight, like, I just don't really think you could fault anybody because you just never knew, you didn't know what was going to come from the pandemic and the virus itself. So I don't fault anyone. I don't lose sleep over it. I lose sleep more over the fact that we were 25-6 in Vegas. And I was excited because we were playing Chicago State, no disrespect to them, but I was probably going to play in that game. And you know, I was just trying to get some run, but that's kind of what happened. So we actually, it was the whole state.
Okay. So the whole state, not allowed to practice or play in your own gyms.
Yep.
Like,
you couldn't play in the state.
Yeah, you couldn't play in the state, right? Like,
that was the thing. You could not play in the state of New Mexico. That was the whole reason that this all became a thing to begin with.
So what were the – so we'll start off there. So you get this ruling, whatever. And like you said, you can't fault the governor. It was kind of a drastic – we don't know what's going to happen with the COVID virus. We don't know. Now, you know, I'll take it from my side. Like, I think it was absolutely crazy to shut everything down like that. Like,
yeah.
There's got to be things you could put in place, but they made a decision. It's over and done with. It's hindsight. Like you said, that New Mexico State team might have been the best that you guys had coming back, you know, of the Jans era. Like, if we're being honest. Yeah,
it very well could have been.
So, what was – when you guys found out, what was the meeting like or what was maybe the – what did – Chris Jans or Mario Moch, what did they tell you guys in regard to that situation that like, hey, we're not going to be able to play here. We got to figure something out. Like, did they talk to you guys about that? Or was it just, you guys got the seat of your pants?
Honestly, the staff did like a wildly impressive job at like keeping it in house with who it needed to get to. And it's not to say that they were keeping it from us, but like that, we had no control. So there was no point in doing the what if and hypotheticals and hearsay stuff. But what's crazy, and I don't think a lot of people know this, when we found out, we did a bunch of other things first to try to show the governor that we could play. So believe it or not, there is these family housing complexes on New Mexico State's campus. They're really small houses. They're not very nice, but they're perfect for a college student. And it's crazy enough, every single player on the roster got their own house. And we tried that for like 2 weeks where we stayed there. We were essentially we're potting ourselves on the campus.
Right.
We tried to do that as a trial. Lujan Grisham, the governor, did not tell us to do this. She never told us that if we did this, she would allow us to play. So we did this to kind of show. And then we did like 2 straight weeks with not a single positive COVID test. And she still said no. So then that is when I think like in the afternoons after practice, when we were, we weren't even practicing. We were doing the pod practices where we're like 3 or 4 at a time.
Right.
And you got to think like we're doing 5-on-0 and then you'd bring in another group and do 5-on-0 and then you'd bring in another group and do defensive slides. It's crazy. It's crazy. So then after that, that's when the conversation really started to pick up. And I mean, I'm telling you, I remember it vividly because we were living in those houses during the election. So I remember it vividly and because we were getting our meals together. And I just remember I was watching the election on my phone when my dad had texted me saying, I just don't know if we're going to be able to do it. And then within like 24 to 48 hours, it was like, okay, yeah, we're going to Phoenix. And it was crazy. It was like, okay, everyone's packing. We didn't know really a whole lot of details. It was just like you're going to be gone for a long time. We had no clue we're going to be gone for the season. But once we found out, like we were staying at that resort it was pretty clear cut that we were planning on being there until the end of March. So that was kind of that. And so, I mean, it happened really, really fast. So they did a good job of keeping everybody focused. Like Jans was wildly impressive. And so was Miller and the rest of the staff at just keeping the main thing, the best you could. I mean, considering the circumstances.
So I gotta go back to this. So the practices there was able to be some workouts, but not with everybody there.
Groups of five.
Oh my gosh. Like,
that. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the other question during that time. If you remember, how often were you guys required to get like tested when you had to do that stuff and live together? And so this is before you get to Arizona. Like this is while you're still in Texas, right? So
yeah.
Like what was the kind of the protocol daily routine that you guys had to go through? Because I'm sure there was a daily routine that you had to stick to.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Like when it started to get into like the nitty gritty of like sticking to a strict schedule, we were testing every day and we were testing more than any other sport. In New Mexico State's football program at the time was not where it is now. So, I mean, like, I don't think that they didn't play that year. You know what I mean? They only played like two or three games, if I'm not mistaken. And I think they actually played them in the spring. And I think they played Tarleton. If I remember correctly, but anyways, so. Like they weren't we're in different spots.
Yep.
Everyone knows that the basketball program is very important to the community. And so people were trying to help us and give us avenues to make this work. So a normal day, we would get up like at 8 or 9, we had two groups. So you had to be tested by 11 a.m. and you could only test if you had tested negative the day before. So you could show up to the facility to test again. And, you know, there's an incubation period. So there's a 3 to 5 day incubation period. Someone could have tested positive on a Monday and have it and test negative Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then test positive Friday. And then we're like, oh man, we were practicing or doing the pod stuff. And everyone was like, you get a positive test that pops. And then we have to disperse. So the amount of times that we ended up not practicing because we found out there was a positive case. I mean, it was crazy. It was like walking on eggshells. It was crazy. I mean, we had no clue if we were going to practice the following day. We had no clue how many were going to be there.
Testing in place. Like who required that? Was it the school? Was it the state? Was it like,
I think it was a little bit of both. I know Mario and the medical, like our athletic training staff ended up doing a lot of the testing. So we had Mike Anderson, who was phenomenal. He was in a hazmat suit testing people every day. And it's crazy. Like, and that was like when people were still not used to it. So like, it was miserable. We were doing it for like, you know, you go to a test site, they say it's going to be 10 seconds and they do it for two. It was the full 10 seconds all the way to the line on the testing swab. I mean, it's up in there.
Oh, it's got to get like, up in there.
Oh, and you got to like, we're doing everything we can. We're taking like every precaution. So, I mean, we're up in there at 10 seconds each nostril. Whereas like you go, like I said, you go to the testing side, they're just, you know, boom. And then that's how you get negative tests. And then finally, once you would test negative, you could go to weights, you could do individuals, and then you could practice whenever we were allowed to practice. We followed all the rules, but I mean, the amount of like, even in the summer, before all this was even a thing, in the summer, when we got there, when we didn't even know that not playing in the state of New Mexico was not a thing, was going to be a possibility. We were doing gym time, 40-minute blocks of individual workouts, one person on each end of the floor on their own basket. You couldn't work out with anybody. And then eventually it was like, okay, now it's just one person in the gym at a time. So it was crazy. But I mean, I'll never forget it. I was like, in a small part of me was glad I got to experience that because it makes you feel very grateful for just being able to be part of something like that. Cause it was super special at the end of the day. Cause it developed, you created a bond for sure. Cause you're around them 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go back just a little bit further. So you guys learned that the WAC tournament, you see all the tournaments getting canceled that year in 2020. Then you learned the WAC tournament's canceled. And like we said, that was one of the best teams that you guys had. They're probably going to the NCAA tournament, you know, was never a question.
Yeah.
You learn that the tournament's canceled, so your chance of playing the NCAA tournament, gone. You know, I mean, just like every other team in America, right? It wasn't just New Mexico State, but like, What's the mindset as you're sitting there in the team room or in the whatever room you guys were in? Just, I mean, that had to be pretty emotional in and of itself. And I've probably talked to other people about it, but like, now that I have to ask that because you're a player at that time and I want to know what was going on.
When we were at the WAC tournament, we would do everything in Jan's suite. We had film there. We would get food up there. I think it was about for everyone when everyone realized it probably wasn't going to happen is when the NBA season was canceled. That was when everyone knew that the NCAA tournament getting canceled was right after. And I think it was like an hour after. I mean, it was like at 2 o'clock. I'm sitting in the room with my roommate and we're like, this, it's coming. We're not playing. And then everyone knew.
For you with that. I got on the plane. I think it was on a Wednesday night.
Okay.
That was right as the Rudy Gobert press conference was.
Oh, happening. When he was doing all the.
Yeah. And then I get off the plane to everybody and all the notifications that like these conference tournaments are closed or canceled. And it's like, what is happening?
Yep.
And then
the Ivy League did it first.
Yeah. And then it just trickled down. First. And remember, they had the women's tournament had a couple games that Wednesday night.
We were at one of them.
And one of the girls from CSU Bakersfield had been sick.
Mm-hmm.
So they stopped the game or they canceled the second game.
Yep.
We're going to play it in the morning. And I was courtside standing next to Bill Hardy when Adam Young walked right by us and said, yeah, it's canceled.
Yep. I remember it.
So, like, keep going. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. No, I'm telling you, there's so many things that your mind brings you when you talk about this. But anyways, yeah, we were in Jan's suite. That's where we did everything as a team. And I mean, you could hear a pin drop. We're just sitting in there in shock because I'll tell you what, like it's no knock on any other program in the country or in the WAC or whatever it was. But at the time, like you said, I mean, we just went 16-0. We're the first team and only team to ever do that. And for us, we knew like that was the team that was probably going to have the best chance to win an NCAA tournament game. And Jan said that in the meeting. He's like, I'll take this team over any of them, over the Auburn team, over the Auburn game, the Clemson game. And then obviously they did it after we left, after I was gone against UConn. But like at that point he's like, this team, that was the best chance. But I mean, it was dark and depressing and disappointing. And man, we took that team photo and I mean, no one wanted to take it. Like no one wanted to have any part of that team photo. But I mean, I think it just shows that, it's a testament to the culture of the program. And like that word gets thrown out left and right at, new coaching hire press conferences or whatever it is. And, but it was real, And there were true bonds. Like I was best friends with people I never thought I'd be friends with and vice versa. Like I'm sure a lot of guys had no clue they would be as close as they were to me. As they thought. And so I think that's why it hurts so much is because we all knew what that team was and where we were going. Like we were playing so well and we were so connected. We had just, I mean, whatever you want to call what we did to California Baptist, like, and they're so, I mean, Rick Croy does a hell of a job. Like, I mean, and they were really well coached. We were just, that was our night. So that we were just playing so well. And like, it would just seem like at that point, it would have been really hard to beat us even in the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, it sucked. And then after that, like Vegas, I've never seen Vegas like that.
Yep.
I've never seen it like that. And I think I'm 20 at the time. So I hadn't even turned 21 yet. So, man, we had no clue what to do. It was crazy. So, I mean, it was so empty. But yeah, the team meeting, it was dark and I'll never forget that because that was like it's just not something you can replicate for sure.
Was that the same year? I'm looking over the schedule here that 2019-20 season, if I remember right, that was the year that Jabari banked one in from three to beat Utah Valley in
84-82. Is that the score?
Oh yeah. I was so mad when he banked that in. I was like, the Wolverines are getting their second win at the Pan Am Center in like 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is up, but the magic of the Pan Am Center happens. So
it was great. What's funny is like, you know, Jans used that as like fuel, as if we couldn't guard anybody because they score. We don't get 80 hung on us that much, and it's definitely not at home. And we got so much better in that week. We only practiced like 3 days, but they were gnarly practices. And I just remember because now that I know Jans, like how he is, like in the office or whatever it is, and I just know he's sitting in there like if you watch The Simpsons, like Mr. Burns, just like with the evil smile, like, oh yeah, we won, but they just scored 82 points on us. I'm gonna use this for sure to say we can't guard a soul. And that's basically what it was. Cause I mean, like I said, that didn't happen to us often, but they were also really good. I mean, Mark Madsen is a close friend of mine and my family's, and he does a tremendous, like, he's a really good coach, and you know, he had him ready to play. But like you said, the Pan Am is magical. There's something about that place that it's just so hard to win there.
I think I'm looking at the schedule. And so during that 19 game winning streak, there were only two other teams that eclipsed 70 points.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It and Kansas City did it. But Utah Valley was the only team to eclipse 80, and they did it. Man, gosh, that's just – it's crazy. And then you guys – let's see. You hold UTRGV to 62, Grand Canyon 53, Bakersfield to 46, and then CBU in that final final game of the 2020 season to 50 points. Oh.
Oh man, yeah, and Cal, like I said, and Cal Baptist could score.
Yeah,
like he's always had teams that could score, and they punked us at their place in their first ever WAC game.
Yep, they did.
Yeah, so now, like I said, we were really good defensively. We were number one in defensive rebounding percentage that year in the country, or number two. So no one got offensive rebound. We were boxing out as if our life depended on it. It was crazy. And then when I think about it, I'm like, wow, people never went to the glass on us. It was crazy. The team was really good and full of great people and great coaches.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to share the screen here so we can look at this roster in 2019-20. I'm going to pull it up here, and Aggie fans are just going to be sick at like what could have been that year.
Oh God, I'm sure this is going to be hard to look at too.
So, I mean, you had Sean Buchanan. There's Tennessee. Bad, look at that hair.
Bad picture of me, man.
Look at that hair. Terrell That's Brown.
A bad picture. Oh yeah. It's funny. Terrell Brown was first team all WAC and our leading. So he averaged 11 points a game.
Oh,
he was that good.
Clayton, Jabari Rice.
NBA that was the player.
First year you had Evan Gilliard, the UTEP
transfer. Another pro.
AJ Harris, so you had dynamite point guards, right?
Like, yep.
Crazy.
Impossible to stay in front of.
CJ Bobbitt.
It's funny. Each name is they're playing professionally. Each it's name you look at, they're playing professionally.
Ivan Arikochea. I think I said that right.
Not the first name, but you got it. The last part.
Yvonne.
Yeah.
Okay. Yvonne Arikochea. And then you had Trev back too. I mean, Look at this team.
Wilfred,
and then,
you know, Big Will was at Kansas State this year.
Yep.
There's Bryce.
Mississippi State and Chris Jans' first year. So
Johnny McCann.
Johnny there. Sean Williams. Rashawn Agee. Where was he? He was playing for somebody this year.
He played for Simon at Bowling Green.
That's right.
Yeah. He's in the portal now. Probably can't get him though.
Look at this roster. Like, it's no wonder you guys won 19 games in a row.
Oh yeah. And you know what's funny? You know, AJ didn't play the last 15 games of the season.
That's crazy.
He broke his hand at Cal Baptist.
That's right.
So, and that was it. I mean, we were just because I mean, we had a lot of injuries too, and I mean, so many. Clayton was hurt. Jabari was hurt. AJ got hurt. Wilfred tore his knee. Like, I mean, everyone, Johnny was always hurt, but he still managed to play. And it just shows like Jans always got his guys able to, you know, to play. And that's, and same with the staff, like the scouting reports were, I mean, and we were, it was always to a T. So the team was really good.
You guys had, you know, you had Gilliard back, you had AG back, you had Clayton, Jabari Rice. Will McNair was back. Johnny was back. So you guys had pieces back for the 2020-21 season. Like,
yeah, we're going to be really good.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to be so good.
It makes you really sick because it's like what could have been in 2019-20, what could have been in 2020-21. And the tough thing is, like, we just will never know what could have happened because, well, there were the restrictions put in place. So,
it's great. I mean, we still made it to the WAC championship then. We'll get to that. We still made it to the WAC championship that year.
We'll talk about who you beat to get there.
We could talk about it.
We could. We will. But let's get to the part where obviously they can't call you all together to sit in the same meeting room to tell you, hey,
you could.
We have found a way to practice all together.
Yeah.
What was that meeting?
Crazy. It was crazy. So we're sitting in there. So now you could. You had to be six feet away from the person in front of you, behind you, and to the right or left. So we're sitting in the Barbara Hubbard room. I don't know if you've been there. Have you been to the Barbara Hubbard room? It's at the top.
Is that the one at the top, right? At the practice facility, or like when you walk?
We're sitting in there. And that's a big room. And the room was barely big enough to fit everyone. That's where we ended up watching film because the film room was too small as far as like the social distancing. And he's like, we're going to Arizona. We're staying at this resort. And then, of course, Jans is like, no, this is not a vacation. You know, it was his first thing. And it was so funny. Like, and then he's like, no. Because it had like a water park and everything. He only let us do the water park one time and then never again. Which I don't blame him. But so then he's like, you guys need to pack tonight because we're leaving tomorrow. It was that fast. It was like a 4 p.m. meeting or afternoon meeting. We didn't practice that day, I don't think. And then we packed our stuff. I had two suitcases. We got on the bus and we drove down. We drove over to Phoenix and stayed at the Arizona Grand, just a beautiful place. It was really fun for like the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you guys were there for 5 weeks. Like, what was it? What was it like?
Way longer than that.
It says, well, it might've been long. Was it longer?
Oh yeah. We were there for like 2.5 months.
There you go.
We didn't come back. I'm just reading the news
report out of, you know, that the Mexico State Aggies were, because like you said, it feels like it's so long ago, but it was like 3 years ago. It's crazy.
It was the middle of October, if I'm not mistaken. Late October or something like that. It was like November, December. I think it was 3 months. And it was very clear that we were going to be there the whole season. And we couldn't find games. We couldn't find anybody to play us. We didn't find anybody. We played at the facility, which is an AAU program. Yep. And the place itself was really cool. No one ever really got to find out kind of how it was set up. So we kind of had our own pod. And then some of the assistant coaches and Jans stayed in a different part of the hotel because it was still open for business.
Right, right.
Like the people were there. So the notion that it was like a bubble, that was false. Like we would see people every day that were coming to travel because at Arizona, the restrictions were pretty loose.
Right.
You know, masks weren't completely forced at the time, but, you know, in Arizona,
that restrictions on where you could go when you were at the
resort? Yes. You couldn't. So you, after the first day when we went to the water park, I'm pretty sure we had a positive case like the next day. So Jan shut that down, rightfully so. And then after that, you couldn't go to the water park. You had to basically just say like, hey man, unless you like are at the banquet hall, the ballroom with the floor in it, or in the weight room, which is actually a really, really cool weight room for a hotel, or like the team room for food, like you're not going anywhere. Like, and so we just kicked it in our room, and then we would cycle through who had their own rooms. So they were set up to where their back room had two beds with a door, and then the front room had a massive couch that ended up being a king size bed. So then naturally everyone just kind of, one person would take the back room with the bed with the two beds and just sleep on one of them. The other person would take the front room, and then the people would just close the door just so they can have some peace from the other person.
Right.
And then like every 2 or 3 weeks, or after the first month or so, people started getting their own rooms. And then it was everybody. It wasn't like seniority, you know, points per game. It was basically just making sure, you know, a lot of it was based on who could get it again. So you would put a guy who just had COVID with someone who had not gotten it yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then, and then eventually it turned into like, okay, who are the guys that are going to play? And then those guys ended up getting the rooms. So, but then you also have to understand that when you break the, like the immunity, like the, where you're immune to it, then you would get the single room. It was a whole ordeal. It was crazy. You didn't know, like you were living out of the suitcase. It was crazy. Luckily, like I got pretty lucky. I was in the same room. I was only in two separate rooms. I was in one room with Bryce and then another by myself because of just the COVID and who could get it. I couldn't even, it's crazy.
How were the practices? Were you guys able to practice as a team or is it still split up?
So there we practiced as a team. And then that the masks, you didn't have to wear the mask. Some people still did. And during, I mean, we were playing with the masks on, even in Las Cruces. And then finally, and I was all for like doing everything the right way. And then once, as soon as we got to Arizona, I took it off.
Yeah.
I took off the mask. So, and most people ended up doing that. And that's how we did normal practice. So normal practice, Jans, the whole staff was there. And, you know, that's how we did it. That's, you know, we went day to day. And that's how we kind of figured out a way to have some normalcy.
What was it like not knowing if you were going to have a game at some point, like, or where or who you would play? Like, what was that like just and doing it on the fly, too? Like, it wasn't like those games that you played in Arizona in that AAU gym were like on the schedule. They were just thrown together to get you guys games. Like, what is that like?
It was
when you're going through that.
Yeah, Miller was on the phone 24/7. You know, recruiting was, I'm sure they were doing that too. Now, because now that I have gotten to this side of the business, you're never going to not do that. But like, he was on the phone 24/7 talking, like, how many positive cases do you have? And then the next coach, you guys got any positives? Have anybody positives for you guys? Can you guys play? We'll pay you. I'm sure at some point, like with buy games, like, I'm sure they were offering people, you know, here's 10 grand to come play us at the facility. And then we did the craziest thing I've ever heard of. And we went to a nationally ranked powerhouse NAIA and played them at their place. And it was the craziest thing ever. Like, and we almost lost. we had to pull the game out. And like, it was, we're on the road for our first game up. I mean, a powerhouse, perennial mid-major. Everyone knows who you are playing at Arizona Christian, I think it is.
Yep.
And they're one of the best NAIs in the country. They could beat probably 15 or 20 Division I schools, if not more. Like, they could compete in the Southland. And then we're at their place, and they had like 50 fans in there, and they play in this little field house. It got pretty loud. And we almost lost the game. And then after that, I don't think we played for like a month. So it was hard. Yeah. You had to fight it mentally to know, like, okay, here's our 15th practice without a game, and you don't know when the next game is. And that was a very hard thing to fight through. I mean, that's some real adversity there when you know there's no games in sight. Because even in the summer and the fall, you know that eventually November will come, not like this. So it was crazy. It was a hard mental thing.
So let's break this down here. So like you said, you played Arizona Christian and you won by 6. You played Benedictine Mesa.
Yeah.
Two nights later and beat them by 38.
Yeah, I played in that game.
And then here it is. That was December 1st. December 5th at Santa Clara was canceled due to COVID.
Yep.
December 7th. Because you guys went to California expecting to play, and then I think if I remember right, someone in it at Santa Clara had a positive, or was it New Mexico State?
Us.
Yeah. So it's just, so you go out there and you're thinking you're gonna play two games, and then boom, it's all of a sudden taken from you, and then you're back to Phoenix.
You want to know how we got back? We bust 17 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so funny, and it didn't hurt my feelings at all. But like, you still had to get the COVID positive dude back. So then it was like, okay, 10 Bryce, you guys are going to be on the bus, but he's going to be in the back. And then all the guys who like were not, who were going to play were on another, but it was totally warranted. Yeah. Like, it was warranted. Like, we're like, okay, we got to make sure that we can still get the season to make sure that all this money that we're spending to make sure we have this season makes sense. So of course, like, you're going to throw Jabari and Clayton and all those guys on the other bus. So then me and like the athletic trainer, and I think my dad was on the bus, and Bryce and some of the lower minute guys, we all were like in the bus. And then like eight rows back is the player who tested positive.
Oh my gosh.
And so we bust 16 hours back from Santa Clara, which is like way up there.
Right.
All the way back to Phoenix. And then I don't think we played for like ever after that.
Yeah. So you're supposed to play Arizona. That got canceled. And then December 28th, the end of December, you guys got two games. Technically, you were supposed to have four games in California again.
Yeah.
You played Cal State Northridge, lost by 3.
I can't.
And then Santa Clara, you were supposed to play in Ontario that same weekend or that same week. But that got canceled because I think they had COVID.
That was when they got it.
Yeah. And then UC Riverside, you had a doubleheader with them right before WAC play was supposed to start. And that got canceled. Like, I don't even know what to think right now if I'm in your guys' shoes. And I know it went for a lot of teams where they didn't know if they're going to play that weekend or whatnot. But, like, you guys are, one, you're in Arizona away from home for, like, 2.5-3 months almost. Then you're going on the road on these bus trips. And it's just like.
The funniest thing is when we flew, it was the craziest idea. The players would walk like penguin style with the coaches hovering around them. It was like the wildest stuff ever. We were doing whatever. We're pulling out every trick in the bag to try and not get COVID. Cause it got to the point where we're sitting and like, obviously this is right before we ended up coming back to New Mexico. Like Jans was like, what do you guys want to do? Like, we can persevere through this and figure out a way to make this work, or we cannot. And that was like a tactic, a ploy to get guys to just stay with it. And, you know, I'm very proud of like the fact that we were still able to do what we were able to do. We tried everything. It was a really hard dynamic to process and navigate when you're away from your families and your friends and your normal routine and living in a hotel room. Cause it's like, it wasn't sweet. It wasn't just fun. It wasn't fun. Like it was fun for like the first week, like, oh, this is cool. This is like the NBA bubble. And then you're like, okay, right now. And cause you didn't know till the day before we found out, like, we're going to be here till March. So it was hard. It was really hard, especially when you're not playing for a month and 25 days and 19, you know, it's crazy.
You know what, guys, we're going to end the first episode of this crazy, wild story right now on that note, because we're going to get into the WAC schedule and how wild that was. I mean, just think about it, guys. First off, they can't fully practice in the off season because of the ruling by the governor, and it was warranted a little bit, I guess. We'll not go down that, you know, rabbit hole. But then to play what, three games in 2 months time heading into WAC play. It's just wild, guys. And you've heard the stories of the travel through airports and how it was like a super protective penguin style waddle through the airport. And they still got COVID even when being out and about together as a team, in a sense. Crazy stuff. We're going to get to episode 2 next week after the Final Four. Oh, Tennessee, this is awesome. Like, it's so great.
Crazy year.
And everybody, be sure to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button and the notification for the second episode so you can hear the kind of the final thoughts on this crazy season and who they beat to get to the WAC Tournament Championship game. We'll discuss that later. I'm still bitter over it. But anyways, Tennessee, enjoy the Final Four. And we will talk to you on the next episode where we continue this crazy story that I should have done this a long time ago podcast.
I had to remind you, Kyle.
You know what? It's so good you're back in the whack, and we're going to have some more fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Straight Outta Whack podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcasting platforms. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Whack Hoops Digest and Facebook under Whack Hoops Digest for all your Whack Hoops news and information.